Yo, episode 198, on the grind of 200. This shit don't stop for a motherfucking soul. Hey, look, man, you know why the fuck I'm here. I'm here to give you that fire-ass content, my boy. So I ain't gonna hold you up. Let's go ahead and jump right into it, man.
Welcome to...
Yes, sir.
Raw is
OG!
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that is. Never play on me, man.
DJ! Hit me! Damn. Fuck it up. She going. Real dance. Yeah, sir. What's poppin' with y'all? Welcome back to another motherfucking episode of the Thin Line Between Genius and Insanity podcast. Hosted by yours truly, OG. No, spin that fucking block. What you thought was gonna breeze by that? You thought I was gonna breeze by that for them fuck niggas in the back.
Wow.
Are you fucking crazy? Let them hang ass niggas in the back know I am always been.
For the bitches.
Some shit never changes, man. Episode 198, and I've still been the flyest, highest, coolest, smoothest host of them all. OG! Hatch, who the fuck it is, man? What's up with y'all, man? Hope you're out there looking good, feeling good, staying safe. There's a whole lot of shit going on in trench meditation each and every episode. I want to shout out to everybody around the world that's tapped and joined the conversation, man. I truly appreciate all the love and support, man. Let's keep Boost Empire brick by motherfucking me brick. Look, man, episode 190 fucking A, buddy.
Wow.
You know, if my calculations are correct, today is a Wednesday. We're recording on our Wednesdays per use type shit. You know, so keeping that tradition alive type shit. You know, I'm going to try my best to record this weekend, get a Saturday episode recorded. So that means my calculations are correct. The following Wednesday, a week from now, we'll be hitting our goal of 200 motherfucking episodes.
Wow.
I want to give a round of applause to all the day one friends of the show who've been tapped in since day motherfucking one, nigga. Look, it's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? Truly, it's unbelievable to think that. You know, in a week's time span, we'd have reached our goal of 200 motherfucking episodes in a short amount of time that we've actually done it in. It's amazing, man. So people that's been tapping since day one, even the people that's new to the motherfucking me journey, man, I appreciate all the motherfucking me listening. Man, if you tapped in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, man, all your DSPs, we in that bitch, man. Rate and review the show, man. Let's get this the show in the right hands of the right people. If you're watching on YouTube at OGIH TV, I truly thank you, man. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, all the good shit to YouTube is say, man. I truly appreciate all the love and support, man. Let's keep building this empire break by motherfucking me break, man. It's a lot to get into. It's a lot I want to get into this episode, man, before we get the fuck up out of here. You know, phase two has been coming down to an end. It's been ending great. These last couple episodes have been received phenomenally from the audience. And I just feel like, you know, with a little bit of space in between the episodes, it's giving that old feel of the show back. People, you know what I'm saying, waiting, you know what I'm saying, for some shit to drop. And when that shit drop, they truly just being fucking satisfied with what they get, man. And to me, that's always been a great fucking feeling, man, honestly. But it's a lot I want to get into, man. So let's go ahead and jump right into the motherfucking docket. You know, man. Over past episodes, bro, I've come on this platform, and I've talked about, you know what I'm saying, my dating life, who I'm into personally, what I'm into type shit. I've talked about that shit time and time again. And, you know, right now, we're in a time and place where, as men, we getting severely and harshly criticized about our dating preferences, the steps we take during dating, if it's up to par with the way women do it. If it's not, then we get fucking humiliated on social media. We become a meme. We become the list of niggas to not date. You seen that list of it's like all types of niggas' names, and they say if your name is on this list, you just an ain't shit nigga. Yo, you know how happy I'd be when I just don't see Deontay. I just don't see Deontay. Like, I give it another 5 years to where Deontay is a common enough name to where that motherfucker's gonna be plastered on every ain't shit nigga list ever. I truly feel like that. Right now, it's stuck with, you know what I'm saying, the DeAndres, the Dantes, and shit like that. Deontay's, we making it, B. We surviving right now. But it's survival of the fittest. And I've told y'all on past episodes, man, I'm at the dispo getting numbers up like Kobe and AI. I don't even
Wow. Fuck.
Throwing a little bit of prime T-Mac in that bitch. I'm getting the shots up, man. I don't give a fuck. And a lot of times, it don't even be me really trying to bag a bitch. It's really just me having fun, killing time. Like, if I'm just sitting there getting a good sale off, like, oh, you want to get this? And I'm getting a good transaction off, and shorty, you just keep smiling at me. Yo, here's my number. Hit me if you're lonely, baby. I've done it time and time again. But in the midst of those, there are a few women that you come across that you actually have some type of connection with, that you actually want to see where things go. And there lies the problem right there. See, as much as I want to be a player-ass nigga, I'm just not a player-ass nigga no more. I don't lie. As much as I take pleasure in having multiple women texting my phone, and you know, so never being bored or some shit like that. That shit's cool. But fellas, be real with you. These hoes don't be talking about shit. The communication with these women be horrible. Like it's annoying. It's boring. Bitch, what are you talking about? And I'm not meaning to really talk bad about these women. It's just really, I hate the talking stages. I hate the getting to know you stage. Because a lot of times these days is you really not getting to know shit. You don't know shit about somebody unless you done really been through some shit with a motherfucker. Because you will come to a certain point in time where you find out that the motherfucker been lying this whole motherfucking time.
Wow.
And that's where I'm at, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to, you know, getting these numbers and talking to all these women. That's where I'm at. I put my hat back in the race. I'm showing my niggas how the game is really to be done. But in doing that, fam, I'm being honest with you. These bitches is good today, gone tomorrow. Fun today, boring and annoying tomorrow. Like, that's truly where we at when you go through the talking stage with multiple women, especially at one time. Now, there is this one lady, you know what I'm saying? Truly, I ain't gonna lie to you. It was her and it was 7 or 8 other women. And to be honest with you, she was immediately placed in front of 7 or 8 women because she looked way too good.
Wow.
She looked extremely better than any of them motherfuckers. So she immediately was bumped up to the front of the line. Naturally, that's how the game goes. God damn, if you went to race, you know, the horse races and shit like that, the horse that just looks the more, you know, more stallionist, you know what I'm saying? The muscles is popping, veins is popping. They automatically get moved to the motherfucking me front. Same shit with the bitches. It's the same shit. This is how we do this shit. And talking to Shorty, I can be honest with you. She knows she a bad bitch. I done slipped up and told Shorty she was a bad bitch a few times. Therein lied the problem with Shorty's head getting how big? Mega.
Wow.
Shorty's head got mega. She walking around with a bad bitch attitude. To be honest with you, if we're not together, I do find that shit sexy. The moment we start taking shit serious and you still trying to give me that bad bitch energy, like you don't really got to, you know what I'm saying, communicate how you really feel and shit like that, that's when I'm just truly turned off from a bitch. But when we not together, you know what I'm saying, I let the shit rock. I kind of fuck with the shit. But as a man, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm a little bit different. Maybe I remember I mentioned that if your dating steps aren't as quick or up to par to the women, they try to look at you in a demeaning way. I gotta be real with you. I'm not a nigga that's finna be taking chicks out on dates if our communication is horrible.
Wow.
Look, man, I'm 28 years old. I've been down the block before, you know, so I've been around the block before, I should say. I know the things and the signs of a woman that I just don't think I should be with. If it's a chick that we just met, I get it. We're not finna be telling each other our deepest and darkest secrets. We're not about to be honey bunching on the phone late night. You know what I'm saying? Bitch, I got to work in the morning. If I just met you a week or two ago, you was not finna knock me off my sleeping schedule.
Wow. I'm being real with you.
I got to get up. So I get that there's certain things that's just not going to be discussed. But the fluency of the conversation is truly important to me. I've always been that person. Yo, if we texting and we fucking playing phone tag where every 4 hours is a reply to a message, I'm not interested no more. I'm just not. I'm big on communication. If I can't talk to you, if I feel like I can't talk to you, if I feel like you can't fucking make me laugh, if I can't laugh at your corny ass jokes, if they not corny in the moment to me, but I look back weeks later or some shit and they corny as a bitch, that's the type of shit I'm into. But if I can't sit there and talk to you and have a conversation, have a fluent conversation with you, I get it, fam. Look, motherfuckers are no Hatch does not reply straight away. It's not because I'm dissing motherfuckers or nothing like that, fam. I'm not on my phone. I work 2 jobs. When I'm not working my 2 jobs, I'm recording a fucking podcast, fam. That's literally my life. I'm always doing some shit. May sound like an excuse to some motherfuckers because it is an excuse to some motherfuckers. The motherfuckers I truly want to talk to, I always talk to. And I truly think the same thing about other motherfuckers. If you're not responding to me every motherfucking me into every fucking 4 hours, you don't really want to talk to me. I ain't taking as no motherfucking me diss. I just know how the game go. Everybody got hoes in this bitch.
Wow.
I know how this shit go. But you can't be the motherfucker that we don't got a fluent conversation. We don't have fluent conversation, motherfucking me, more than once to be asking me to take you out on dates. It's not going to happen. I'm never taking a woman out on a date in the public around other motherfucking me people that in private I can't have a fucking good conversation with. Wow. Like if I'm the only motherfucker that feel like that, then maybe call me the weird motherfucker. I don't know. But that's truly how I feel. And I've been in situations to where out the gates, me and a woman will have great communication. And those are the most dangerous ones because I'm a sucker for communication. I'm not a motherfucker that like just talking to motherfucker. You're not going to see me out just talking to every motherfucker me about it. But the woman that's next to me, the woman you see me out and about with, you best believe me and her got the best goddamn communication that we've ever had in our life.
Wow.
You see me with a woman, at that moment in time, we are rocking heavy, brother. And if I can't get that vibe with a short, I'm not finna take you out and waste no fucking money on you. And I say waste because it is a waste. Like I said, man, I've been around the block a few motherfucking times. Any chick that I've ever taken out that our communication wasn't solid, I ain't sitting here saying, you gotta tell me about the trauma that happened to you as a kid. Fuck no. But throughout the day, if our communication ain't good, it ain't fluent, if we do hop on the phone and there's multiple fucking 5-minute pause or silence, bitch, this ain't high school. Move around. You cannot sit here and expect me to want to waste and spend no fucking money on you. I don't look at it as spending money enjoying my time. I look at it as wasting my motherfucking time. And I recently went through that with a shorty, you know what I'm saying? Bad bitch, ass fat, titties fat, Latina, hair long. You know how I like them. Y'all done heard me describe women on this podcast a few times. Shorty wanted me to take her out. I'm not taking you out. I even played the game for a little minute. I asked you, what you want to do? Oh, you want me to plan? Look, shorty, I'm asking you what you want to do. Great. You want me to plan? I get it. Women want men to take the initiative. Bitch, I get that, okay? But I can't take the initiative if I really don't even fucking know you. When I'm asking you certain questions, you not really answer. Sometimes talking to a brick fucking wall. So how do you expect me to take the initiative? And I think sometimes women, all the lady friends of the show, y'all gotta think about that shit. When you want a man to take the initiative, you have to ask yourself, have you provided this man enough information to fucking actually do something that you will actually fucking enjoy? I don't know how other motherfuckers think. When I'm doing something with somebody, I'm either A, doing something that I really want to do for myself and take this person along to enjoy it with them, or I'm doing something that I know for a fact they really fucking enjoy doing. I'm not one of them niggas that just want to go do some wild random shit that I want to do, not expecting you to actually fucking like it. I know how that shit feels when the roles are reversed. So if you sitting there asking me to take you out and I'm sitting there playing the game, like, you know what, fuck it, I'll take shorty out. It ain't shit. His money ain't the issue. So like, fuck it, it ain't shit. Shorty is bad. Let me see where this goes type shit. I didn't see myself actually wanting to be dating or nothing like that, but fuck it. You never know what you stumble into type shit, right? I'm staying asking like, yo, so where you want to go? No, you got a plan. Shorty, where the fuck do you want to go, okay? I get the whole romantic shit. We not there. We not doing that. You talking about some first date vibes on some shit that we ain't even got solid communication. I don't even know what the fuck you like, ho. What the fuck are you talking about?
Wow.
What the fuck you like? You know what the fuck I like because I'm answering questions. You're not answering questions. And I get it. It be like that sometimes where out the gate shit ain't clean. Shit ain't fluent. Shit ain't, you know what I'm saying? She ain't a breeze. But what the fuck makes you think Hatch is the type of nigga that's going to be running around spending money on the bitch he don't even know?
Wow.
Do I look like a TikTok nigga? Like, do I look like a nigga in the TikTok comments or something to you? The shit just wild to me, man. That's why I say, like, and like I said, in Shorty's defense, she ain't really, you know what I'm saying, she ain't really came at me with, you know what I'm saying, negative or nothing like that. It's just, I got to make sure I come on the platform and express it clearly to the people out there. I don't know what the fuck people have been looking at me and seeing lately. I don't know if motherfuckers think I'm chump, I'm pussy, I'm some type of goofball. For all lady friends of the show, I don't know who out there. If you out there and you think you want to shoot your shot at Hatch, cool. I'm accepting all shots. I'm taking it there. Shoot your fucking shot. But if you think I'm finna be the nigga that's fucking out here whining and dying and spending money and making sure you fucking happy and all that good shit, bitch, you're crazy. I do that for the women who actually do that for me in return. For the women who can provide me sanity, peace, and a good, at least a fucking good conversation. Bitch, we can't even fucking communicate. You want me to spend money on you?
Wow.
Are you crazy? Are you sick? Man, look. I think this whole social media way of living, this view on what a relationship is, has really tarnished a lot of young women's minds. I really do. Like, we've always known women to be delusional. That was pre-social media. We've always known that. We've always known that men have always known women to be delusional. You got this. You got the niggas who prey on that and play on that and mind fuck women. You have that. That's how those situations were born. But we've all known women to be very motherfucking me delusional. But this social media, this social media view on what a relationship is, on how men should treat women, has really tarnished a lot of these young women's minds, man. It's got these bitches thinking they should just be pampered and shown a, you know, and showered and pampered with all these gifts and shit. Bitch, you ain't did shit. I've never been a nigga to be like, what you bring to the table type shit. But at a certain point in time, bitch, what are you bringing? What are you doing to get that man to treat you the way you think you should be treated? It gotta be more than you fucking putting on some fucking tights and leggings, you know what I'm saying, making your ass look crazy. It gotta be more than, you know what I'm saying, you fucking powdering your fucking face, making sure your nose is fucking sharp and narrow. It has to be more than those things. A nigga like myself, yo, I'm only asking for fucking communication, solid foundation communication. That's all a nigga like me asks for, bro. If you know me, then you know I don't be on shit. I be doing my own fucking thing. I'm stacking, I'm doing my thing. I don't need a motherfucker for shit. I've been rocking for fucking 18 years now. I ain't saying an ally nigga I was fucking when I was 14, 15. I've been rocking for about 10 years now. It ain't never been a thing for me to just have a bitch on the side that I fuck every once in a while. That's just how my life has always been. As a nigga that's trapped, be trying to get away from that. And I'm not right now. Like, now I'm back in the game type shit. I had to realize, bro, you can't choose when you want to get out the game. Sometimes the game retires you, goddammit.
Wow.
Like when Kobe tore his Achilles, the game was letting them know, my nigga, it's time. Everybody ain't LeBron. Everybody ain't LeBron. Everybody can't just be in a prime for 20 motherfucking years. But everybody can at least be in the game as long as they motherfucking body allows them to. I was taking myself out of the game. That's why I was getting motherfucking me disappointed with ain't shit bitches. Them bitches wasn't trying to take me out the game. I was trying to take myself out the game. And that's a lesson to everybody. You can't, you gotta let this shit come to you, man. You can't force nothing. The moment you start forcing that shit on the motherfucker that who showed you out the gates, they really weren't about that fucking life. That's when you find yourself being hurt. And maybe that's where it all comes down to, man. Maybe there's been so many times in my life to where I've ignored the red flags. I've ignored the signs that a motherfucker wasn't rocking with me the way I was rocking with them. That now I'm sitting back like, bro, I refuse to go back down that path, no matter how bad a bitch is. No matter how she look, I'm being real with y'all, man. And this is all the male friends of the show. And when you're dealing with a chick that you think is just drop dead gorgeous or beautiful, as men, we have to be real with ourselves and understand that. But sometimes we allow a lot more shit, a lot more bullshit from said individual. We will let shorty get away with all types of shit. And I know women do it as well. Women, when you fucking with, you know what I'm saying, the pretty boy Floyd ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? A nigga that you just, they're easy on the eyes type shit. Just off the rip, you just look at them, you like, damn. And sometimes you feel like, damn, like it don't get no better in this type shit. I gotta make this work type shit. And fam, I wasted so much time with so many different women that I felt like that about. And the reason why I bring it up is because they always got replaced. Everybody's replaceable. Never get that fucked up. Everybody's replaceable until you find that motherfucker that's irreplaceable. Tongue twister, but it's facts. It's facts type shit. And I don't know, man. Maybe I rambled on. Maybe I said a whole bunch of shit that went over a lot of people's head. But I truly just I'm at the time of my life, bro. I've seen too many. You know what I mean? I seen too many motherfuckers show me their true colors. And I'm colorblind, so I ignored the shit. I ignored the shit. Now, like a motherfucker, you know, over time, they'll ease up. Over time, they'll get better. Nah, man, fuck that, bro. You got to take a motherfucker what they truly is. And maybe it's me. I've been in the other role of this shit where I treat a motherfucker, held him at the Heisman distance, you know. So, but one thing to give me everything every turn, and it's worked. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, those things faltered, and those people are no longer here for a fucking reason. I'm not into wasting people's time. I'm not into wasting no fucking money, nigga. Taxing is crazy, nigga. Yeah, I just bought some grapes the other day, right?
Wow.
I just bought some fucking grapes the other day, bitch. That bitch got weighed, and that motherfucker said $10, bitch.
Wow.
Come on, man. I ain't wasting time. I ain't wasting money, bitch. You got to move the fuck around. It ain't even about you just throwing the ass at me. It's about you. Like I said, all that nigga like me asked for is communication. That's all I ask for nowadays, bro, because we live in a world where everything is sexualized. Getting pussy ain't hard no more. I told you, I got invited to a club called Encounters out here. They like, motherfuckers is like, it's wild right now. You know how we just had a chicken wing shortage? We ain't never going to have a sex shortage. It ain't never going to be a shortage on no pussy. You can find some pussy easy, my nigga. All I got to do is throw up on my social media, OnlyFans, looking for collaboration. Brother, if I showed y'all my DMs right now, you'll think I'm lying. Real to you, think it's Photoshop type shit. So a nigga like me I've always just asked for communication. That's all I want. That's all I want. That's all a nigga like me want. That's all a nigga like me need. Of course, I'm going to knock your fucking head off. We're going to do that. But I'm all about communication, short. If you can't provide me communication, I'm not the guy for you. I'm an open fucking book. Like, I'd be tired of when I be talking to bitch and they be like, I got a wall up. They don't know me. Bitch, you ain't listening then. I'm an open fucking book. Everybody, you don't even have to ask me the fucking hard questions. I'm going to just give you the answers type shit. Oh, yeah. My daddy probably got married when I was 3 years old. That's all you need to know. I'm going to try. I got trauma. But it's like, I tell myself I'm an open fucking book, man. If a motherfucker can't be open book and reciprocate that energy, we just not meant. You know what I'm saying? We're not meant to be around each other. Hey, man, yeah, you trying to smoke some dope? Yeah, smoke some dope. Come eat some dick. But you think I'm finna take you out, spend some money on you? Come on, man. I was raised by too many player ass niggas to even go down that road, baby. Real motherfucking me talk. Way too many player ass needs to go down that motherfucking me road. But moving on, man. You know, I want to ask y'all a question, man. You know, there's this myth that men can't handle what they dish out type shit. And I don't know if that's true. You know how they always say, like, you know, on social media, you get this presence of women that be just standing with their chest. When you do them how they do you, they can't take that shit. And I always sat back like, man, I don't know about that shit, man. I ain't never tripped off a shorty doing some shit trying to get back at me. I never tripped off that, especially when it comes to like sexual shit. Like if I'm fucking with a chick, right, and I done stepped out a few times and she done took me back, and now she's stepping out trying to get her get back. I never tripped off that and got mad at a chick like that because you're not doing shit but putting yourself at risk. See, a nigga like me, I can't get pregnant. You know what I mean? How many times we done seen this story over and over and over again about a woman, you know what I'm saying, trying to get her get back on her significant other, and she went out fucking, now she didn't got pregnant. Now that nigga she was with didn't left her. The nigga she didn't got pregnant by, he not fucking claiming a child. We done seen this shit over and over and over again. That's a game that women simply just can't win. You can't win that as a woman. You may think you're winning. You may think that nigga's mad. He, you know what? He very well may be mad for a few days, for a few weeks, until he gets drunk again and forgets, until he gets high that day, until a fucking random big booty bitch gives him some play that next week. Like, niggas will get over that. You can't get over fucking catching that STD. You can't get over fucking getting pregnant. You can't get over those emotions and that trauma, baby. You can't. You can't. So, and every time it ever came down to, oh, man can't handle what they dish out when a woman do, pull a U on you. Nah, I don't never think it was that. I think it's the male ego that comes into play, that men can't handle knowing that a nigga was doing their woman how they was doing they other bitches.
Wow.
Niggas can't do that. Like, my mind goes off, bro. If the chick I'm fucking with is cheating on me and she's cheating with another nigga, my mind instantly goes to the nastiest session I had with a bitch in my life. When I had my size 14s on the side of a bitch face, just going crazy. Or I'm sweating like I just played a game 7 in that bitch. It's sweaty, funky sex. That's immediately what I go to. I don't go to the moments where I too pumped the bitch and I was done. I didn't go to what Shannon Sharp said when I was touching bust. I don't think about that. I think about those ferocious moments of intercourse.
Wow.
That's what I think about when I think about a nigga fucking my girl. I think about the moments I was killing a bitch shit. The moments I was going doing push-ups in the bitch shit. Like, fam, I always think about this moment when I was fucking the shorty, right? And I had, you know, like them prison push-ups when you're on your knuckles and shit. My nigga, when I did like 275 push-ups in shorty pussy.
Wow.
Nigga, I always reflect on the moments. That was one of my proudest moments in the bed. Killing her shit. That's what I think about when I think about a nigga fucking my girl. He's drilling her shit.
Wow.
The same way I be doing my fucking side bitches. Every nigga know you fuck your side bitches the best. Your main, she gonna accept you. She loves you. She love Mr. Touching Butt. She gonna love you to death no matter what. She not gonna dish you in the group chat with her friends. The side chick, you have to perform every single time. It comes more natural. That pussy just feels newer. It feels cleaner. It feels tighter. You just go crazy when you doing shit you know you really not supposed to be doing. So you always go crazy in her shit. So when you think about a side nigga fucking your girl, you know he's going fucking Willy Wonka.
Wow.
He's going nerds in that bitch, man. He's doing it and doing it well. That's what I think about when I think about that shit. So no, it's never been about men can't handle when you pull a U on you. No, bitch, we can't handle knowing a nigga is destroying your guts. Real motherfucking talk. Hey, real shit, man. That's truly what it is. But moving on, man. Let's get to some weird shit that happened at the dispo, man. Yo, man. I feel like I can always come to y'all and tell y'all about some of the wild shit that happened at the dispo. You know, it's sports season, man. It's fucking playoff time in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I told y'all top of the year I had the 49ers versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs had a great game against Miami, so you never know. They may get high at the right time and go try to defend their crown. But that's the one thing about working this two job shit, man. If y'all noticed throughout the last 2-3 months, a lot of the content hasn't been centered around sports at all. I may talk about the big headline news, but straight just giving y'all my takes and picks and stuff like that. I really haven't done it because I haven't really been watching any sports. Like, I come home when I'm smoking and shit like that, while I'm eating, you know, so I will watch the highlights of the games and stuff like that. But for the most part, bro, I don't never know who's playing, when they playing, what day it is. I truly just never fucking know. But it's the NFL season. It's the playoff time, bro. You got to keep in, tap in with that. You know what I'm saying? Play some bets and shit like that. This past weekend, we had the wild card weekend, man. You had the Chiefs versus Miami. You had fucking Dallas versus Green Bay. You had fucking the Eagles. Well, that was just Monday, but the Eagles versus fucking Tampa. You had some big time games going on, right? And, you know, when the niggas come in there and they're dispo, you know what I'm saying? That's just one of the ways you just try to do icebreaker with niggas, especially when you see them got on some team apparel. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas was coming through that month with their cowboy shit on. You got niggas coming in with their Green Bay shit on. Niggas coming in there with their, you know, so whoever's hot, whoever they represent, niggas just repping their shit. You just got to, you know, as a man, you know what I'm saying? You chuck some shit up, you know what I'm saying? You talk some shit. Yo, your quarterback, this and that. Y'all better do something with the head coach. You know, you just, as a man, it's just simple shit you do. It's just like the head nod that black men do when they walk past each other type shit. It's just normal fucking body reactions. There's a guy that came into the dispo. So he came to the dispo shit last week. Yeah, on the Green Bay gear, man. You know what I'm saying? If you know Hatchton, you know Hatchton's a Chicago Bear fan, unfortunately.
Wow.
Guy comes. Well, I'm a Chicago Bear fan. I'm also a Kansas City Chief fan. Look, I know. Look, man, I went off to school in St. Joe, bro. I was out there in Kansas City, Missouri, bro. This is before Patty Mahomes got out there. Nigga, I got a Kansas City Chiefs hoodie I bought from my boy D-Stone back in the day. I still got that bitch, bro. I fuck with Kansas City heavy, bro. I remember my times in St. Joe, my nigga. But there was this guy who came in there, on the fucking Green Bay, you know, whole get up, jacket, hat, shirt, fucking matching sweatpants, socks, all types of shit. And, you know, he came in, that motherfucker, listen, the Bears is going against the Green Bay, and we chopped it up, you know what I'm saying? He had a homeboy that was a Bears fan. They lost the bet. They bet a whole ounce. He was in there getting the ounces homeboy had to buy it for him type shit, right? So then you fast forward a week later, you know what I'm saying? He comes in the dispo. We got them going against the Cowboys. Green Bay knocks off the Cowboys.
Wow. We're
going to get into that a little bit shortly, too. But Green Bay ended up knocking off the Cowboys. Dude come in there with a big-ass smile on his face. You know me. I'm talking shit, man. Fuck them weak-ass Packers. Them slackers, man. Fuck them slackers, nigga. But I'm happy for them. Like, you know what, nigga? Pop your shit, nigga. It is what it is. I know them good moments when you got a good day going on and your favorite team win and you finna go cop some weed, you finna go cop some food. It's a good fucking feeling. It truly is. Dudes in there, we in there chopping it up. We got the whole dispo laughing, giggling and shit. We all into the conversation. It's one big conversation, but it's one of those moments of the dispo where it was just literally a bunch of men in the dispo. We all having fun, smiling, getting weed, talking about weed, talking about, you know what I'm saying, quarterback play of Dak Prescott. He a bum ass nigga. It was a good fucking moment, man. Fast forward to the end of the conversation, the Packer nigga that I'm talking to, as he's walking out, I'm like, all right, man, yo, you have a nice one, man. This nigga said, you too, daddy, yo.
Wow. 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 Wow.
You know, it was those moments where, like, the record skipped, like, like, what the fuck? I was like, this nigga just called me daddy, yo? Every bounce on every nigga that was back there remaining inside the dispo turned and looked at me and said, yo, I promise you, I wasn't sure he said that until you just confirmed that.
Wow.
I had to tell them niggas, I wasn't sure he said that until you niggas just confirmed that. Look, fam, I don't know what possessed this nigga to call me daddy, yo. And to be completely honest with you, the yo part was kind of delayed.
Wow.
It was a daddy, yo. Like, nah, brother. Look, man, that's why I came and started this episode off with. I don't know what niggas is seeing. I don't know what niggas is on. It's another nigga I be helping in there. And I just be cool with niggas. Yo, what's up, man? How you doing, man? You know what you're looking for today? This nigga be gazing in my eyes and
wow.
Shit. This nigga be gazing at me. This nigga, he one of them Jacquees looking ass niggas. You know the singer nigga Jacquees? Like, no bullshit. He one of them Jacquees looking ass niggas. Gazing at me and shit. Yo, my brother, what kind of weed you want, nigga? I ain't with this other funny baloney bullshit you niggas be on, man. But the nigga called me daddy, yo. I'm like, yo, what is these niggas on, brother? I don't understand it. I never understand it. I ain't trying to understand it. I'm just trying not to go to jail on these niggas, man. It was just a moment at the shop. We was all just sitting back like, yo, what would possess a nigga to say that? And I get, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how niggas give it up in Green Bay. You know, them cheese head ass niggas. I don't know what the slang is out there in Milwaukee, B. I don't know. But I do know, you know what I'm saying? Daddy-O was a slang they used, you know what I'm saying? Probably back in Harlem. You know what I'm saying? Back in the fucking 70s or some shit. Bitch ass nigga. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, nigga. Bitch ass nigga. It's 2024. We in Phoenix, Arizona. That Daddy-O shit. That shit ain't flying. That shit ain't flying with a nigga like me, brother. And I vowed to myself, I'd never sell that nigga some weed again, man.
Wow.
I'd never sell that nigga no weed again. When that nigga comes into the dispo, I'm turning around. I'm picking up boxes and shit, man. I'm putting product on the shelf, man. Fuck that shit, man. Like, niggas can't be coming in the motherfucking shop making me uncomfortable. What happened to, all right, bro, you too. All right, my nigga, much love. I salute, niggas, stay up. I be telling niggas stay safe. They tell me to stay dangerous. I don't be knowing if niggas be trying to test me or what. But I'll accept that more than I'll accept the you too, daddy. Oh, what? Come on, man. Come the fuck on, man. But that's the weird shit that happens at the motherfucking Despo, man. But as I mentioned, we was going to talk about them Cowboys. You thought I was going to let that shit slide? Look, man, if you don't know by now, the Cowboys lost to the Green Bay Packers, bro. Not only did they lose to the Green Bay Packers, they got their ass whooped. They got their ass beat, brother. At a point in time, it was, what, 42-16 with a few minutes left in the goddamn fourth quarter?
Wow.
Ultimately, ended up scoring a few touchdowns, like 42-30 or something. That was the final score of the game. You know, I bet on the Cowboys to win. I actually took the spread. The Cowboys spread was 7 points by when I took it. I took them to get the spread. Cowboys had won the last 16 games at home. They was undefeated at home for the last fucking 2 years. But hey, look, man, I gotta be real with you, man. I'm 28 years old. The Cowboys ain't been shit my entire fucking life.
Man, I fell down to my knees when the law came.
They ain't been shit my entire fucking life. I never expect them niggas to win. But I will be real with you. This year, oddly enough, I was like, bro, if there ever was a year where I felt like maybe the Cowboys could do it, it was this year. And it wasn't because of the Cowboys' talent. Fuck no. To be honest with you, the Cowboys have always been super fucking talented. I'm talking about even go back to the Romo days, my nigga. They've always had a slightly above average or good quarterback with Romo or Dak. They've always had a fucking nice fucking tight end when they had Jason Witten. Right now, I don't know who the fuck. They had Dalton Schultz last year. I don't really know who the fuck the tight end is right now. But they got nice fucking receivers and fucking CeeDee Lamb, the fucking Brian Cooks nigga. They got niggas they can throw the ball to. They got Pollard who can catch the ball out the backfield type shit. They've always had talent on the defense and on the offensive end. Especially for the last 10 years at least. So I've never looked at Dallas and was like, oh, they ain't got no fucking talent. I've always looked at Dallas like, them niggas is going to choke. Them niggas is going to, they just not meant to win type shit. You wouldn't fucking understand how long it took me to actually accept that this was a winning fucking franchise before I was born. I just couldn't even fucking accept that. Because all I know is for them niggas to be laughing stocks, jokes, choke artists. I'm talking about it goes to the Romo bobble of the snap on the fucking field goal attempt. It goes to all the picks. It goes to the fucking Dez Bryant not catching the ball. It goes to all that shit, bro. So am I truly surprised that the Cowboys did a fucking Cowboys? Not really. I'm more so shocked that a year in and year out that the fan base keeps fucking just telling, keeps just instantly fucking forgetting the years before. It's like that Men in Black shit with them Will Smith and them niggas, Tommy Lee Jones. Ain't that nigga name, Tommy Lee Jones in real life? It let them niggas really walk around to all Dallas Cowboys fans. Jerry Jones paid them niggas and they flash all Cowboys fans and make them forget the seasons before. Because year in and year out, Cowboys fans, dog, I don't know if it's a fucking media manipulation. Because I don't even know, like, when I talk to Cowboys fans in real life, like, in person, they truly be believing this shit. You know, sometimes you just be like, man, that's the shit. When you watch SportsCenter or you watching First Take every day and you hear Stephen A. say this shit, you just automatically take that shit as gospel. But when you actually talk to fucking Cowboys fans, they truly be that fucking nauseating in real life. I'm a Lakers fan, bro. All I know is niggas winning. I done seen Kobe win 5 of them bitches. I done seen Bron come through and win one. Every motherfucking start of a fucking decade, the Lakers won a championship. 2000, 2010, 2020. That's what I can say in my lifetime, my nigga. That's what I can say. As a nigga who supports a franchise who's revered as one of the greatest of all time, all I know is for them niggas to put out a winning product. That's all I know from them niggas. I don't understand how niggas can support a team for 30 years and never just be rewarded even a fucking fourth place medal.
Wow.
You can't even become it. You can't even finish the season in fourth place. That's an NFC championship. You can't even do that in 30 years. The Cowboys going Cowboys, man. I had that conflicting interest when, you know, Zeke played for the Cowboys, right? I never formally met Zeke. I've never shook Zeke's hand. I've never done none of that shit. All I know is the nigga, my quarterback in high school, them niggas grew up like brothers. You know what I'm saying? I remember going to the, being invited to the track and field meets of the elite motherfuckers and seeing Zeke for the first time and seeing, that was my first time seeing a nigga walk around like Michael Jackson. Like, anything he did, motherfucker was following him. God damn it, I was following nigga. I didn't even know it. I'm just following a crowd of people and didn't realize we was all following this nigga. So I had that conflicting interest. You know, like when Sexy Red come on, you like, and she's saying, fuck her baby daddy. You just start bobbing that shit as a nigga. You just start saying, yeah, fuck that bitch baby daddy because she from the Lou. It's a conflicting interest. So when Zeke was there, especially Zeke rookie year, and them niggas started off out the gates going crazy and Zeke was doing his thing, I was out here in AZ like, yo, I kind of want this nigga Zeke to do this shit. Because I'm thinking of the mindset, yo, what if a nigga from the Lou went to Dallas and fucking won a chip for them niggas for the first one in 20 fucking years? Like, I was thinking of shit like that. And even with still, when I think about Dak Prescott, I was introduced to Dak Prescott from a video of that nigga at spring break getting his ass whooped. That was the first time I was introduced to that nigga. And I was like, damn, him and Champ look like fucking twins.
Wow.
That was how I was introduced to Dak Prescott. And that's why I thought it was so dope that, damn, Dak Prescott and Zeke is on team. I'm like, damn, I'm pretty sure Champ at home, like, that's me right there. You know what I'm saying? That's my man's. That's truly how I felt. So it's a conflicting interest with these niggas, but I've never seen these niggas come close to actually doing it. These niggas going to make Stephen A. a fucking billionaire off just predicting the future. Stephen A. turns into Miss Cleo when it comes to the damn Dallas Cowboys, man. Real motherfucker be tough. Cowboys is going to motherfucking be Cowboys, man. Real shit. But moving on, man. You know, I wouldn't get into... You know, everybody knows if you tapped into the show, the Hatch is a big movie guy. I love movies. I watch movies quite often. That's what I like to do in my spare time. I'm a nigga that love going to the movies and watching and seeing a good movie. I love that shit. One thing, oddly enough, I've never been to an actual drive-thru.
Wow.
Crazy, bro. I've never been to a drive-in movie theater. I seen there's one like 12 minutes away from me, actually. So probably once it starts to get a little bit warmer outside, it's been cold as fuck out here in AZ. Once it get a little bit warmer, I'm actually do that, man. I don't know if I'm having a date or not, but I'm definitely going to a motherfucking drive-in movie theater, bro. I just want to do that. Ever since that scene in motherfucking me, what was that, Poetic Justice? When they was at the drive-in movie, I've always just wanted to go to one. Not that I want a shootout to break out and niggas to die, but I just want to go to that shit to just be like, and mark it off the checklist type shit, right? But me being a movie guy, I always find an interest when I come across, you know, whack ass, well, just movies that just like, who the fuck opened the budget for this shit? And I came across this movie called Leonard Part 6. And if you never heard of Leonard Part 6, trust me, don't be alarmed. I was just like you. Never heard of fucking Leonard Part 6. Leonard Part 6 came out when the fuck did Leonard Part 6 come out? In 1980 motherfucking 7.
Wow.
It was a movie that was written, produced, and starred by Bill Cosby, pill popping Bill. And it's called Leonard Part 6. I want to read, you know what I'm saying, the synopsis, the plot, you know what I'm saying? I want to read just a little bit of this so you all can probably come across at the end. It's had that same look on your face that I had when I came across this shit. And I just couldn't understand why the fuck this was an actual thing. Let's go ahead and get our read on, can we? Leonard Part 6 is a 1987 American spy parody film. It was directed by Paul Weiland and starred Bill Cosby, who also produced the film and wrote its story. The film also starred Gloria Foster as the villain and Joe Don Baker. The film was shot in San Francisco Bay Area and earned several Golden Raspberry Awards. Let's stop right there.
Wow.
What the fuck is a Golden Raspberry Award? Look, I'm not trying to show nobody that ever won a Golden Raspberry, but as I continue to read this shit, and I realized how ass this movie was, I can quickly come to the assumption that a Golden Raspberry is the equivalent of a fucking Instagram like.
Wow.
Let's continue. It says Cosby himself denounced and disowned it in the press in the weeks leading up to its release. You know some shit is bad when a nigga who wrote the movie, starred in the movie, and produced the movie out in the fucking press run is telling y'all niggas he don't want shit to do with the movie.
Wow.
Nigga, it's your movie. Let's go ahead and read. It says the film received universally negative reviews from the critics and has often been considered to be one of the worst films ever made. It was also a box office bomb, earning just $4.6 million on a $24 million budget.
Wow.
Keep that in mind. They spent $24 million in 1987 to create this fucking movie. Let's read the fucking plot. Bill Cosby plays Leonard Parker, a retired CIA spy who now operates a restaurant. According to the opening sequence of the film, the title refers to the idea that this film is actually the sixth installment of a series of films featuring the adventures of Leonard, where parts 1 through 5 concealed in the interest of world security. My nigga,
wow.
You started off the movie letting us know this is the sixth part. This is the sixth movie in this franchise. We've never seen the first five. We've never heard of the first five. What the fuck is this, Bill? But let's continue. The theatrical release, it says, in reality, no Leonard films precede this one. The theatrical release poster points out that Leonard Parker is, at the time, his reluctant return to action, coping with domestic issues. His daughter is engaged to a man old enough to be his father. His estranged wife behaves like she is younger than their daughter, and now the government's asked him to save the world again. Don't this sound fucking odd to you? That now that we know what Bill Cosby's been fucking alleged to have been a part of, that he will make a movie, he will write and star and produce a movie to where his daughter was dating someone who was older enough to be his father. Not old enough to be her father, old enough to be his fucking father. And that his wife, who was a legal woman of age, with her mentality and her emotions throughout the movie, would be one of their daughter. Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd? But no, let's continue with this weak-ass fucking movie. It says, the film starts with Parker being called out of retirement by the CIA director, Schneidenburn, to save the world from evil vegetarian Medusa Johnson, who brainwashes animals to kill people. During the film, he infiltrates the International Tuna Factory. What the fuck?
Wow.
Is this? International Tuna Factory fights vegetarians dressed in bird costumes and horny bees.
Wow.
Why the fuck are the bees horny, Bill?
Wow.
Why do you have a movie about young girls dating old men and older women acting like young girls and there's horny fucking bees?
Wow.
We all know what you did with those fucking beverages, Bill. But let's keep it going. After fighting the horny bees and successfully steals her mind control device, however, Medusa kidnaps Leonard's wife and blackmails the CIA into returning the device to her. Leonard then enlists in laboratory rabbits to attack other CIA agents in effort to regain the mind control device. Leonard again infiltrates Johnson's headquarters to rescue his wife and is captured and tortured by lobsters.
Wow. Wow.
Lobsters, my nigga. Okay. But he uses their claws to remove his restraints. Free from his cell, he attacks Medusa's henchmen with magic meat.
Wow.
I'm sorry, brother.
Wow.
Knowing what we know about Bill Cosby, there's something about this nigga having a movie about young girls dating older men, fucking horny bees, and magic meat. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Those things add to motherfucking me. Whatever they said that nigga did, he did that shit. After attacking the henchman with magic meat, he acquired from a gypsy, frees the captive animals, destroys the base using fucking Alka-Seltzer.
Wow.
You mean to tell me you want me to watch a movie and the fucking the main motherfucking me contributing factor to you taking down the villain was some fucking Alka-Seltzer? Are you fucking serious, Bill? He said he escapes by riding an ostrich across the roof, and despite ostriches being flightless birds, the fucking ostrich flown this nigga down to the fucking ground.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me this movie ended with Bill Cosby flying a fucking ostrich?
Wow.
After he done beat niggas up with magic meat?
Wow.
He done beat these niggas with magic fucking meat, burned a building down using Alka-Seltzer.
Wow.
And now he flying across the fucking skyline on a fucking ostrich?
Wow.
After being tortured by lobsters?
Wow.
Fucking horny bees.
Wow.
Vegetarians dressed in bird suits.
Wow.
What the fuck is this movie, man?
Wow.
What the fuck is this movie, Bill Cosby? This, look, man, as a fucking movie connoisseur, this is by far one of the worst plots I've ever read in my life. The simple fact that there was a dickhead out there in Hollywood. That's what I always say, man. All it takes is one. You can never not chase your dreams. Because all it takes is for one motherfucker to believe in. To know that there was a dickhead out there in 1987. Well, honestly, it had to be like 1985 when they were shooting this shit. To know that they dropped a bag. They signed off on $24 million. After they read what the fuck I read. They read the synopsis, the plot, the script. They read all that shit. And said, you know what? He got flown off by an ostrich. He defeated the henchman using magic meat. The clip I seen was a nigga waving around a fucking hot dog.
Wow.
He was waving around a fucking hot dog that blew niggas' heads off.
Wow.
You mean to tell me it was a dickhead in Hollywood that read that script and said, God damn it, you got one, Bill.
Wow.
I was born in the wrong motherfucking era, man.
Man, I fell down to my knees when the law came.
Oh, my
man, God. I fell down to my knees when the law came.
The finesse was real back in the day, man. This nigga Bill Cosby, man. That is by far, I repeat, that is by far one of the worst fucking scripts, plots, whatever the fuck you want to call it, synopsis, whatever the fuck you want to call it. That was one of the worst I've ever read in my motherfucking life, bro. Real motherfucking me. So that was fucking horrible, man. Bill motherfucking me Cosby. That is a sick ass movie. Leonard Part 6. The first five are fucking secret information used by the government. Man, shut the fuck up. Shut your motherfucking mouth, man. You weird fuck. Real talk, man. Speaking of weird shit, moving on a little bit. I came across this YouTuber, and I watched a few of his shit. His name is Trap Lord Ross. Trap Lord Ross really went viral these last couple, was last year, I should say, about the King Von documentary he did. And a King Von documentary about his King Von, the serial killer, you know, the first serial killer in hip-hop and shit like that. And it was a very well done, you know what I'm saying, content piece. It was very done. It was done very well. You know, it went viral. It got the reception he was looking for. The reason why I bring Trap Lord Ross in this segment of the episode about weird shit, I want to talk about this shit on the last episode, but I truly just forgot. I came across this news about Trap Lord Ross getting a King Von tattoo. On this King Von tattoo, there's a background that truly drives me crazy. It's already weird that you went and got the King Von tattoo. Granted, you made the video went viral. That kind of that's your fucking masterpiece. Like when it comes down to what people gonna remember you for, how it was introduced to you, although you had other videos with millions of views, it's gonna be that King Von fucking up video, especially when it comes to the hip hop culture and stuff like that. The video is based about King Von being a possible serial killer and King Von having at least 7 bodies. On this King Von tattoo, the background of the tattoo is 7 skulls behind King Von. And I gotta be honest with you, bro. That shit is weird. That shit is cringy. That shit is disturbing. The fucking glorification of murder, I will never truly understand. This is coming from somebody. I love movies. I love horror movies. I love all that shit. But when we talk about real life and you talk about the glorification of somebody's killing somebody, I would never be down with that shit. Look, bro, I don't listen to fucking kill nigga music all day. I don't listen to music all day where niggas is talking about spinning blocks and smoking ops. I just don't do that, bro. I just don't. And that's just not how I live my life. Call me what the fuck you want. That's just not what I listen to. I believe in what you put into this world, you're going to get out this motherfucking world. I truly believe that. And as weird as I think it is for you to get the tattoo, you can try to say that's your weird old, your weird month of me salute to a nigga that just put you on and that's going to make you rich and famous for the rest of your life. Cool. But when you put the glorification of those seven skulls behind that head, behind it, that image of that tattoo, you talking about the seven lives that was actually taken from this world. No matter if it was from King Von or not, you want to give King Von that status and fucking salute him for that? He's a weird motherfucker. Because if a motherfucker kill your family members, you're going to feel fucking salty about the shit. You're going to be sad about the shit. There's millions upon millions of people that's fucking giving a nigga a salute, the head nod. They smoking blunts to this nigga in fucking solidarity because he smoked some niggas. I never rock like that with you niggas, bro. I would never rock like that with you niggas. I'm not going to automatically call you a culture fuck because you white or because you not from America. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to call you is a bitch ass nigga. A sorry ass, lame ass nigga, a mark ass nigga, a goofy ass nigga, a no nuts having ass nigga, a fucking clout chasing ass nigga, a mark ass nigga again. Cause man, at the end of the day, you's a bitch for that. You's a bitch for that. You's a whole hoe and a half for that shit, dog. Y'all niggas is glorifying nigga for killing people, bro. Look, I'm not with that shit. I ain't with that shit. I ain't never been with that shit. I ain't never been with that shit. You got them seven fucking skulls back there to act thinking that shit is cool. Where the fuck was you when fucking King Von was alive? I ain't seen no imagery of you and King Von posted up taking pics. I ain't never seen that. You a nigga that after he died fucking is making your fucking success off his name. You making more money off that nigga than Lil Durk. Think about that shit. Trap Lord Ross probably done made way more money off King Von than Lil Durk since King Von been dead, dog. Shit's sad, man. By the end of the day, this is hip-hop, right? Y'all niggas, man. Got this fucking white boy getting them tattoos thinking shit's sweet. I guess, right? I fucking guess, man. Real shit, man. But moving on, man, before we get the fuck up out of here, man. You know, I came across this very, 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 very sad, disgusting story that really just made me scratch my head and look up to the sky and say, why? Remember that Jadakiss song, why? No, that's not. I was going to start singing Michael Jackson. Why? 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 Why the fuck did I think that was a Jadakiss song, man? But wasn't he have a song with fucking Anthony Hamilton or something like that? Hold on, bro. I know I ain't tripping, bro. Hold on, man. Hold on, Jada. Hold on, Jadakiss. Hold on, Jadakiss, man. I know Jadakiss had a motherfucking me song called Why, bro. I know he did, bro.
Is that real? Yo, why is Jadakiss as hard as it gets?
Yeah, nigga. Why is Jadakiss as hard as it gets? Look, I know I wasn't tripping. But I wanted to ask myself why, man. You know, I came across this story. Let me pull it up. I want to play the clip for you guys so you guys can hear exactly what I heard. And, you know, I tell you guys all the time, man, I'm not really sure what goes on in people's minds and why they do the things that they do. I understand that we live in a horrible world, man. The world we live in is very horrible. There's horrible corners in parts of this world that people like myself are just not meant to be in. We wouldn't survive in those climes. I want to play this for y'all so y'all can understand why I'm so sick to my fucking stomach.
A 29-year-old with sexual exploitation of children. Fernandez is pictured here on his private Instagram. He and at least six other unidentified men sexually assaulted and raped a toddler at what appeared to be a Galleria Mall bathroom. Court documents say last month, the Australian Center to Counter Child Exploitation reported four explicit videos found on the dark web to the FBI, in which at least two toddlers, ages 2 and 3, were filmed being sexually and verbally assaulted by multiple men at once. Relatives of the toddlers told investigators Fernandez was a friend and fellow Galleria employee who offered to watch the kids while they were at work at the mall.
I think as parents, you want to go with your gut, but also as policymakers, people need to start figuring out how do we make sure that we have safe environments for our kids so they don't have to, parents don't have to wait on a creepy uncle or a neighbor that they think is safe.
Dr. Bob Sanborn is the president president and CEO of the organization Children at Risk. He says parents should look out for certain telltale signs that their child may have been abused.
Kids, after they've been out with someone who you thought you trusted them, they will sort of withdraw. They'll be more quiet. And so look for those changes in your children. Bedwetting, not eating. All of these things are sort of signs that something isn't right with your child. In this case, we're talking about toddlers. They really couldn't communicate. They didn't know what was right and wrong.
Now, Dr. Sanborn also suggests that parents remain vigilant about who they're trusting with their children, even if it's only for a few minutes or for a few hours. From the Galleria, Natalie He, Fox 26 News.
You know, there's so many angles and so many layers to this situation that I really don't have enough time to get into. When you see a case to where there were seven men raping a fucking toddler. Well, they said it was two toddlers, right? It was two toddlers being raped by seven men. Verbally assaulting and raping two fucking toddlers.
Wow.
Like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you sick ass motherfuckers, man. I don't know what the fuck you get out of that. I don't even know what the fuck you see in that. But it's not for a nigga like me to understand. I will never understand it. A nigga like me kill you niggas. Let me die. You motherfuckers is lucky a nigga like me didn't have to take a piss, man. I wish to fucking God, dog. I was at a mall and I said, God damn, I gotta go piss. I gotta go drain the motherfucking me dragon. You know what I'm saying? I wish I would walk into a fucking stall. And I see fucking, what's that, 14 motherfucking me feet in one motherfucking me stall. And I heard whimpers from a fucking baby.
Wow.
I'm kicking that bitch down like Blade. And I'm slicing and dicing you niggas, man. The fuck is, like, I don't understand this shit. I never will understand this shit. And God forbid a nigga like me get found in a position to where I come across a fucking scenario where it's seven fucking people raping two fucking toddlers. Man, it's going to be blood and guts everywhere. I'm walking out that bitch like an episode of The Walking Dead, man. It's going to be blood, guts, and babies in my hands. I don't give a fuck. Man, you niggas is sicko mode, man. And even it comes down to who the fuck has a toddler and gives the fucking toddler to a fucking friend? This is a toddler we talking about. We ain't talking about no fucking six-year-old kids that you going to go let your fucking neighbor, the friend of your family who got kids of their own, you letting your fucking kid go there and play with their kids. This is a fucking, these is toddlers, two-year-olds that you got at the fucking mall that you fucking letting somebody you think is a friend watch your kids at the fucking mall. Are you fucking serious? Every time I be hearing these wild-ass stories, like, I be watching Steve Wilkos, and they be having these wild-ass stories about, like, kids being touched on and being victims and shit. It always be fucking crazy to hear how this shit started, to hear about the lack of fucking parenting that the fucking kids be having, the dumbass fucking parents and shit. It always makes me go back to, yo, the education system and a motherfucker's education level don't matter when niggas is out of high school. Motherfuckers be stupid and retarded, bro. And they do stupid and retarded shit. I don't know. Who the fuck has toddler kids and just let motherfuckers they cool with watch their kids? You ain't even letting them watch your kids at your own crib, which is still wrong. These motherfuckers got your kids at the mall. What the fuck is your toddler doing at the mall without you? Man, the disappointment is real, okay? The disappointment is real. I just don't understand. And this ain't got nothing to do with the LGBTQIA plus community, because the nigga that they was talking about in the beginning of that clip, he was gay. Rainbows all through his bio and shit. Like, I ain't got time to be trying to go to war with them fucking people. But I want to go to war with the fucking parents first. Let's beat the parents' ass first. Because what the fuck was you doing that was so important to where you got a fucking somebody that's just a friend watching your fucking toddlers? You can't take your kids to a daycare? You ain't got a fucking mama that can watch your kids while you at work? You ain't fucking a mature enough, adult enough to get a different fucking job, a work from home job, a job with better fucking hours to watch your fucking toddlers, bitch? Are you serious? Sacrifice something, bitch. But you did. I'm sorry. I got you fucked up. I wasn't familiar with your game. I'm sorry. You did sacrifice something. You sacrificed your fucking child's innocence, bitch.
Wow.
Fucking disgusting, sorry ass hoe. Nasty bitch. And where's the father? Where the fuck are you? You absentee? You fucking bitch ass nigga, you? Oh, you motherfuckers make me sick, man. Let's wrap the fucking show up. Motherfuckers can't even watch they fucking toddlers. I feel bad when I leave my dog on the patio when I go to work sometimes. Oh, and you motherfuckers acting like this with toddlers? You motherfuckers, man. Wrap the fucking show up, man. With that being said, let's go through the doc and make sure we ain't fucking miss nothing, man. That shit is fucking disgusting to me, man. I don't know what's worse. Fucking Bill Cosby did beat fighting niggas with mystery meat, mystery magic meat, and horny bees and shit, or motherfuckers not being fucking adult enough or having the paternal instinct to fucking take care of their motherfucking kids. Ah, you motherfuckers, man. Let's just make sure we ain't missed nothing throughout the fucking document. What we got here, man? We talked about my dating preferences. Me having broken communication with women, I'm not going to take them on their dates. When it comes to cheating, can men really not handle when a woman pulls a U on you? Or is it really about thinking about another man pulling a U on your baby moms? I don't know. I think it's the latter. The cowboy is going to cowboy. Tell them about the nigga called me Daddy-O at the dispo. Bill Cosby having the worst movie ever. The glorification of murder with Trap Lord Ross and King Von. And motherfuckers not having paternal instincts when watching their fucking kids. Yeah. I think that's motherfucking me everything, man. Great ass episode. Episode 190, motherfucking me 8, man. With that being said, DJ, drop that fire ass beat, my boy. Great episode, man. Episode 198. Thin line between jeans and insanity. Hosted by yours truly. OG! Motherfucking me ass, man. You already know I give it up, man. Whole lot of shit going on, man. So with that being said, I want to say thank you to everybody tapped in joining the conversation. Man, I truly appreciate all the love and motherfucking me support, man. Keep building empire brick by motherfucking brick. You already know how I give up on this side, man. It's all love these ways. Never let them slap you with bullshit. Always keep the main thing the main thing. Stay safe, stay sharp, stay sane. And how to the episode, man. We out this motherfucker. Peace. Damn. Great ass episode, man. Episode 198, man. We wrapping up phase two the right motherfucking me way. Within a week, we should be done with phase two, man. It's gonna be, it's one of those feelings where I'm happy that we wrapping up, but it's also saddened because, you know, it's gonna be a long period of time where I'm gonna have to find something to do with my motherfucking me time and try to keep my mental, you know what I'm saying, up to par, man. But that's gonna be a topic for another episode. You know how the fuck I give it up on this side, man. I want to say thank you to everybody that tapped and joined the conversation. I truly love y'all, man. I'm humble. And I'm grateful for all the friends of the show, man. Let's keep building this shit, man. Let's keep doing this shit, man. At the end of the day, it's just me and y'all, man. It's just us type shit, man. So let's take this shit. And it's only going to go as far as we want to take this shit, man. So I pretty much want to say thank you to everybody that's tapped in on Mac, tapped in on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all DSPs, or you watching on YouTube, LGS TV, man. I truly love all the friends of the motherfucking me show, man. And with that being said, I holler at y'all when I holler at y'all, man. Peace.
Welcome to Raw is
OG.
Hatch, man, you know the fuck that nigga playing with me, man.
You dig? Episode 198, bitch.